And let's pray. Lord, as always, may you open your word to us and open our hearts to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Once again, this is our Advent verse, Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Today, let's focus on the last title, Prince of Peace. Now, when my mom saw kids running around, uncontrolled, running wild, either because their parents weren't able to keep them in control or because their parents simply didn't want to, she would say, "It looks like the monkeys are running the zoo." Did your parents say that? I guess my mom was just unique. When she was saying that, of course, she was speaking metaphorically, but I would picture in my mind what that would really be like if the monkeys really did run the zoo. So I would picture the monkeys out of their cage and scampering up and down the trees at the zoo. I would picture them as they pestered the people that came to watch the animals and steal food from the vendors, find a garbage can, trash the place as it's digging through the garbage can, and things like that. I pictured the monkeys outside the lion cages, taunting the lions who are in the cages and can't get at them. Or I pictured them letting the giraffes and the elephants loose just because it would be fun to do that. It's a good metaphor, isn't it, for kids running wild. The monkeys are running the zoo. It's also a good metaphor for you and me. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, God's kids, you and me, are running wild and running the zoo. And we have made a mess of things, haven't we? Indeed, since the monkeys have escaped from their cage, so to speak, we have created all kinds of problems for mankind. For instance, ever since the monkeys escaped from their cage, they severed their relationship with God. Isaiah, or the Lord through Isaiah, said in Isaiah 59:2, "Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear you." What was it like for Adam and Eve in the garden? It sounds as if God often walked among them during the cool of the evening, and perhaps they had an evening chat together. But whether that's the case or not, in any event, we do know they had a special relationship with God and could commune with him. What was that like? And now, because they sinned, what is the situation? We are separated from God, and he has hidden his face to a large degree from us. We monkeys are disconnected from the one who watched over us and cared for us and protected us, provided for us, and so on. Instead, we monkeys are forced to fend for ourselves, our choice, but we're forced to fend for ourselves and make a go of it as best as we can. Wasn't meant to be that way, but that's the way it is. Secondly, we have surrendered our birthright to Satan. When Jesus was talking to his disciples, he said in John 14:30, "I will no longer talk much with you." He knew that his time was coming. He says, "I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world, Satan, is coming, and he has no claim on me." We were meant to have control of the world. We were meant to have dominion over it. But when we left our proper place, we surrendered our birthright to Satan, and now he's the ruler of this world. We thought when we left our cages, we monkeys, we thought when we left our cage, we'd find great freedom. But what happened instead is that someone from the circus captured us and made us perform for him. And the sad part is, most of the world doesn't even understand that the world is enslaved to Satan. And then thirdly, when we fell, we broke. So we find ourselves at odds with ourselves. Or as we would say it today, we are all conflicted. We are all conflicted. We're created in the image of God, so deep down inside, our deepest desires are to do what is right. But we monkeys have broken loose. We've tasted freedom. And so now a lot of times we also want to do what? Whatever we want to do. Whatever sounds fun. Whatever seems to be to our advantage. And as a result, Romans 7:15, we are conflicted. Paul says, I do not understand my own actions. I do not do what I want, what's really at the core of my heart. I don't do that very often, but instead I do the very thing I hate. I do the things that are more self-centered and not really the things that I really want to do. So because we have escaped from our cage, we often do things that we don't understand why we do, and do things sometimes that we hate. We are conflicted. And then also the fourth one, we're also at odds with each other. We fell, we broke, we have sharp edges. And so when we rub up against each other, we cut each other sometimes. Most of the time unintentionally, but sometimes even intentionally, don't we? James said, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? Our passions are at war within us individually, and us as a family, us as friends, us as whatever the case might be. And because we're at war with each other, because we're broken, we sometimes hurt each other. And this is the irony. We were created for warm relationships. God says it's not good for people to be alone. We were created to be in warm relationships. That's where we find fulfillment. And we die if we don't have some type of warm relationships. And yet, sometimes what is the hardest thing we can do? Live with the people we love. Why? Because we're broken. Because we're broken. Man wanted his freedom. So we escaped from our cage. We monkeys. Now we're running the zoo. How are we doing? How are we doing? According to the World Population Review website, there are 42 countries that are currently at war. Think of all the suffering associated with war, and 42 countries in the world are at war. In just the one case, the war between Russia and the Ukraine, more than 1 million people, it has been estimated, have already perished. Soldiers, that is. Probably as many civilians. We fought in Vietnam for a decade or so, and we lost 59,000 people. They've lost over 1 million. Meanwhile, as you know, Russia eyes other countries in Eastern Europe, and given the chance, they would see some of these countries. They used to belong to us. We need them back. That's what they're saying. If given the chance and they seize those are NATO countries. We're at war by treaty. If we are at war with Russia, would China, Korea, Iran side with Russia? If so, we're talking World War III. Not saying that's what I think is going to happen. I definitely hope it doesn't happen. But this is the world we face. In World War II, it was estimated that 40 to 50 million people died between soldiers and civilians. If there's a World War III, how many people would die? That's if we don't even use nuclear weapons. How many people would die? 80, 90, 100 million? And I say those numbers as if they almost mean nothing. Think of all the suffering. And if one or both sides uses nuclear weapons, would the human race survive? We as nations have trouble getting along. How are we doing as monkeys running the zoo? We as nations have trouble getting along just as we as people do. You know these statistics. Half of our marriages in this country end in divorce. Why? Because we have trouble getting along. According to CNN, we Americans aborted almost 100,000 babies last year. Is that right? In America, according to the Bankrate.com, the top 0.1%, 0.1% of people in our country own 30% of the wealth in our country. 0.1% owns 30% of the wealth in our country. I'm sorry, 13.5%, and 1% owns the 30%. Is that the best we can do? According to the Action Against Hunger organization, nearly one out of every 11 people on the planet go to bed hungry each night. One out of 11. And then both the WHO and UNICEF organizations estimate that over 2 billion people in the world don't have access to clean water. Is that the best we monkeys can do? How are we doing? How are we doing running the zoo? I have often wondered, let me belabor the point just a little bit longer. I have often wondered, do we Americans care more about our next paycheck and our planned vacation than we do our fellow man? And don't get me wrong, I care about my paycheck and I care about my vacation. Do we sometimes care about those more than we do our fellow man? Do we care more about our schedules than we do those who are genuinely in need? I care about people that are in need, unless I'm really, really busy. And then sometimes not so much. We get miffed when our rights are infringed upon. Do we get miffed when other people's rights are infringed upon? Or how about this one as a nation? Do we care more about football than we do about God? As Christians, are we eager to give him the first fruit of our time, money, and talent? Or are we content to give him the leftovers that we don't really want anyway? Frankly, I don't think we monkeys are doing a great job of running the zoo. Just like Judah in the days of Isaiah when he gave this prophecy. So let's look at the context to this prophecy. What was Judah like in those days? Isaiah 1:3, the Lord says, the ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. They claim to be following the Lord. They had a form of godliness, but that's all it was. Just a form. Worse yet, Judah's leaders only cared about themselves. Isaiah 1:23, your princes are rebels and companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and runs after gifts. They do not bring justice to the fatherless, and the widow's cause does not come to them. They don't care about what they should care about. They only care about feathering their own nest. And then Isaiah 2:8 and following, the people in general in Judah. Judah was, according to 2:8, was filled with idols, and 3:16, filled with haughtiness, pride. The people were obsessed with getting more. They were obsessed with, as it says in 5:8, with joining houses to houses and adding fields to field. Never having enough, always having more. They were obsessed with partying. Isaiah 5:11, they rose up early in the morning to run after strong drink and tarried late into the evening as wine inflamed them. And as a result, God was about to discipline him. He was going to send first the Assyrians and then the Babylonians against them to punish them. Isaiah 15, 5:13, because of that, many would go into exile because of lack of knowledge. Many of the people of Judah would go into exile because the whole nation was stupid. That's what happens when monkeys run the zoo. It is in this context that Isaiah says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given," so on and so forth. And when this person comes, he will be a prince of peace. When we think of the word peace, we think of the absence of conflict. So if Russia and Ukraine made peace, that means they would stop fighting. And we would call that a peace treaty. Doesn't mean they like each other. Doesn't mean they get along. It just means they have stopped fighting. The biblical word for peace is broader than that. The biblical word for peace refers to the well-being and contentment, joy that we feel when we are right with God, right with our fellow man, and right with ourselves. In other words, when we know our place and live in it. When we know our place and live in it instead of trying to be free and run wild like the monkeys that we are. And such peace can only come from knowing God, because to experience such peace, we have to know our place. And our place is in submission to our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus is our Prince of Peace. He's the Lord of our well-being. That sounds a lot like a zookeeper, doesn't it? So what does Jesus try to do? He tries to scoot us monkeys back into our cage where we belong. Think of how he did this the first time he came. First time Jesus came, he became one of us. He became a monkey like us. So that he could do what? John 14:6, so that he could show us the way, the truth, and the life. He basically said, "I'm the way, follow me. I will lead you back to your cage where you belong, in right relationship with the Father." And those who have turned to him, those who do turn to him, those who do follow him, find what? Peace. Peace. But of course, not all monkeys want to be let back in the cage, or we don't always want to be led back into the cage. So there will come a second time when Jesus returns. And this time, he won't come gently urging people back in the cage. He will deal with the monkeys who who keep on wanting to run around and not have anything to do with where they're supposed to be. And so as it says in Philippians 2:10 through 11, he will be exalted, the Father will exalt him, and every knee should bow, every knee will bow, and every tongue confess that he is Lord. He'll make us monkeys behave. And one way or the other, he will put man in his place. And I don't want to go into what all is going to happen when he does that. It's not going to be pretty. But when he does come and he deals with man after it, he will establish his kingdom on earth for 1,000 years, and it will be a kingdom of peace. And then after that, he'll establish the new heavens and the new earth where we will live with him forever. So these are some of the verses that talk about when Jesus will come and the kingdom that he will establish and how it will be a kingdom of peace. So Isaiah 2:3-4. When he comes, he will cause war to cease. And nations, as it says here, will beat their swords into plowshares. Imagine 1,000 years of human history with no war. Won't that be marvelous? Won't that be marvelous? And then in the same section of verses, it also says that people will seek out the Lord and seek out his ways, and for the most part want to follow him. "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord," they will say, "to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths." Can you imagine if that would happen today? People would beat on the doors of the churches and say, "Show us the ways of the Lord so that we might follow him." That's how it will be after he returns. The nations will say, "Come, let's go. Let's learn of the way of the Lord so that we might follow him." And then somehow, in some way, he'll change the times and the seasons in some way. So the predator will not prey on the prey. Isaiah 11 through 7, the cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. So even the animals, if you will be at peace with each other. And the length of life will be greatly expanded again. Isaiah 65:20, no more shall there be in it, in the kingdom to come, an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old. So anyone dies at 100 years old, they'll be thought to have died premature. And the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. So even the length of life will be expanded. Some of the things that we struggle with now, we apparently won't struggle with as much then. Some of the diseases, some of the just growing old aches and pains won't be nearly the problem as it is now. And people will not labor in vain. Isaiah 65:23. Talking about his people Israel, but applies to the whole world. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. It'll be so much better in the kingdom to come. And then the Lord has promised that he will be near his people when he returns. Isaiah 65:24, before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear them. And then after the 1,000 years again, he will establish his new heaven and his new earth, and that's where we'll live with him forever. The Prince of Peace. He will come when he returns and make us monkeys behave. He'll put man in his place and create a kingdom for 1,000 years, a kingdom of peace. Don't you long for the day when Christ does return and the monkeys no longer run wild? I do. But of course, you and I don't have to wait for that day to find peace. Christ has promised us in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. The world gives and sometimes takes back, not Christ. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. What do I give you? I give you peace. John 16:33, I've said these things to you that you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. You will struggle. You will have grief. You will have anxiety. You will be afraid, and so on and so forth. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Take heart. Jesus grants you and I peace. So be at peace. Be at peace with God, with your fellow man, with yourself. Be at peace with your past, with your present, with your future. Be at peace. And know your place and stay in it. Don't run wild. Be at peace. Lord, we thank you for your peace. You are indeed the Prince of Peace, and you are so good to us. But we do like to run wild sometimes, Lord. When we do, shoo us back into our cage, into our proper place. And your promises, Lord, they're not just words. We all could tell story after story after story how even amidst the storms, you have given us peace. If we are stressed out today, we are struggling today, we are worried, so on and so forth, grant us your peace. You've got this. You've got today, you've got this week, you've got this coming year, you've got it. We trust you, Lord. Grant us your peace. In your name, amen.